Mr. Abubakar, we take 1 minute in introducing yourself before we start. What are your degrees, if you have any degrees? What are your church affiliation? So that we can start with believers. We're going to take 1 minute. This is outside the time of the debate. It's just for introduction, introducing yourself. So, brother, we stand. And when you start the 15 minutes, keep an eye there. The brother is going to be taking the time, and when your 15 minutes are up, they will write time, and then you relinquish the mic, the brother will stand, and so on and so forth, until the whole time of the debate is functioning. But, take the mic and introduce yourself.
Okay, everyone, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Muslims and Christians. God's peace and blessings be with you all. Just for some background information, I am a convert to the Eastern Orthodox Church under the jurisdiction of Metropolitan Larus, who is the first primate of the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. My convert is quite fairly recent. I investigated many religions when coming in Orthodoxy, namely Islam, and I consider private study and references and talking and dialogue as, you know, my type of degree. I have no formal degree. I've never gone to, you know, a university or have yet to get a degree in biblical history or what have you. But as I said, I'm an Orthodox Christian, Eastern Orthodox, under the jurisdiction of the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. And I believe that's enough information about me. I yield this to now Muslim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Give me just 1 minute, please. I would like to leave and come back to Zayt and Adnan March, inshallah. Just 1 minute. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think you can hear me right now. You can hear me right now, everybody, inshallah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Hisham Abdullah. I'm a Muslim. I'm a common Muslim. I'm not a scholar. But inshallah, I'm a scholar in the Bible, inshallah. And I would like to welcome Mr. Azbeksi in the debate tonight. The topic is Jesus God. And inshallah, let's just start right away. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Welcome everyone to the room, inshallah. Mr. Abubakar, are you with me? Mr. Abubakar, are you with me? Okay, go ahead, sir. Your first 15 minutes will be yours, and then in succession, you brother with him, you brother with him, until the time is consumed. Go ahead, brother with him, the mic is yours. I'm sorry, Abubakar, the mic is yours.
Okay, good evening. Tonight, my opponent and I debate over that classic question raised in Muslim and Christian dialogue, is Jesus God? This topic has been a major conversational piece for both parties, having both sides speaking and debating with great rigor. However, in my experience of watching Muslims specifically approach this Christian topic, a lack of knowledge, ignorance, and naivety have contributed well to the decay of understanding in the Christological context. Muslims often fail to first understand Christian doctrine on the deity and divinity of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, rather relying on filling misconceptions and assumptions from sappy online apologists. These encompass a lack of understanding of the Trinitarian formula, dual nature, or hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, and the Incarnation. All of these are vital in approaching the question, is Jesus God? And not understanding one without the other will still leave one in a poor comprehension of the stated issue. Therefore, I would like to briefly define the above said points. The Trinitarian formula is one God and three persons. They are all one God, one Lord, in the fact that they share the same essence. Therefore, it is not three individual completely different persons, but three persons with one essence. The Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Father, the Holy Spirit is not the Father, the Holy Spirit is not the Son, but they are all one God and three persons. The dual nature or hypostatic union is that Jesus Christ is both fully human and fully God, two natures in one individual. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as Scripture says. This details it well in saying that the divine eternal one and only Son of the Eternal Father was begun before all ages and time. I'll touch on this later in my speech. Tonight I will bring forth scriptural evidence, both self-claims of the Lord and claims about the Lord, pointing towards the fullness of God inside Jesus of Nazareth. I hope I'm clear on the mic. I will further pull apostolic authoritative sources from the holy tradition of the one holy apostolic Orthodox Church to further prepare the truth that Jesus Christ is God. Now I would like to first address the three omnis, omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, which are all revealed in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to show how the attributes of God dwell within Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 23:24, that's chapter 23:24, God declares, "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" God is essentially present with all creatures. He is essentially present at all times. No place is without God. It is as a spirit that he is everywhere, in heaven, earth, and hell. I think we can all agree here that omnipresence is exclusive to God only, as he is the only one who can behold such an attribute. So then I would like to bring to the room's attention to these following quotes. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. We can get that posted into the room. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." What does this mean? Jesus is talking to his disciples, saying that he will be with them always, not just temporarily, always. What man, what human can claim such a thing? None. It is the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us through this promise that he is everywhere and remains with his flock. This ultimately suggests omnipresence, a characteristic exclusive and defining to God. Furthermore, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, he says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Again, how could this be possible if Jesus were not deity? This is another scriptural mark of Jesus' omnipresence. Omnipotence, all-powerful and mighty. In Orthodox Jews, we have an icon of the Lord Jesus Christ called the Pentecostor, which in turn means all-powerful. This beautiful icon reflects what has been revealed in Holy Scripture and Holy Tradition, specifically the omnipotence that has been revealed in Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, talks about this with similar quotes in Luke chapter 24, 25, and verse 46. In his post-resurrection address, Jesus says that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and for a power that only God has. "I ask you all this, how can only a man have all heaven and earth?" I'm not necessarily saying that this right here, except for me, but I laid down of myself. Sorry, people keep on hearing me. "I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Here Jesus says he has the power to lay down his life and take it up again. And we must ask, who has such power to lay down life and take it up again? Well, the context of this chapter answers that with the following verse in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Jesus says that he has the power to give them eternal life. What omnipotence. No man has such authority and power to give life, let alone eternal life, to others. Only the dual-natured God-man, Jesus Christ. So this figure of the hand is not just about sharing in God's power or exercising God's power. It is part of his hand as oneness in essence, because it is for the Son to have all omnipotence. Finally, we have omniscience, section 7. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son. God knows himself and all his persons, and each person fully knows one another. The Father knows the Son, begotten by him and brought up with him. The Son knows the Father in whose bosom he lay, and the Spirit knows the Father and Son, whose Spirit he is, and from whom he proceeds." And the Father and the Son. Can you all hear me? Okay. Just repeat what I said, if you've been hearing. The Son knows the Father in whose bosom he lay, and the Spirit knows the Father, and the Son whose Spirit is, and from whom he proceeds, and the Father and Son know the Spirit, who is sent to them as the Comforter. John chapter 2, verse 25, if you can get that up. It reads, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. The Lord Jesus Christ knows man's hearts, for he has fashioned them alike and is often said to be the searcher of them. He knows the thoughts of the heart as his word, so he is a discerner of them. Jesus knew the secret of God's in the hearts of men, implying omniscience. Luke 6:8 also supports this. It reads, but he knew their thoughts, and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand there, and he rose. And he arose and stood. Luke 11:17 says this as well. But he, knowing his thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought down to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. Persons in the ancient world did not know each other as individuals as we do today. To know the heart of another was solely the prerogative of divinity. Hence, for Jesus to claim knowledge as such, or to act as though having it, is in itself a direct claim to divinity. John 16:30 also shows such. This is Peter speaking to the Lord Jesus. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you come forth from God. I think that's apostle speaking such. This quote, John 21:17, Peter speaking to him. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know all things. This is just an exclusive attribute right here, right in the text of omniscience. He's showing right there, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Lord may object to all of these by quoting Mark 13:32 and its parallel to point out the ignorance of Christ and therefore show somehow he is God, if that were the case. Like I stated earlier, this is when the dual nature and hypostatic union come into play. We find that Jesus was the Son who could only do what the Father would do, which is found in John 5:19. And yet he was tempted by evil just like we are. That Jesus had the power and authority to bestow life to the dead and still is strong with the word. Yet he got hungry, thirsty, and tired. In fact, he was asleep on the boat before he called that storm. Likewise, we find that Jesus somehow knew all things, which is read in John 16:30. And yet somehow did not know when he would return, which is already quoted, which is in Mark 13:32. We can see this all throughout the Gospels as Christ who continually depending upon his Father, and yet was doing everything that the Father did, and in the same manner. While this verse teaches the limited knowledge of the Son, limited now, if we truly want to be loyal to the Scripture, in our view of Jesus, we must accept both and understand the dual nature. Without understanding the dual nature, we aren't understanding Jesus. This is who Jesus is. He is fully God and fully human. And this is evident when he was hungry, but when he was hungry and thirsty, when he knew all things, when he was ignorant, you can't have one without the other. They both go hand in hand versus that Jesus Christ in Scripture demonstrates the three omnis as omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipotence and omnipresence. Now I'd like to focus on verses that show how Jesus claims equality with the Father. I'm not sure I'll have enough time to go over this, but I'll in and out across my other minutes to speak. So I'd like to bring light to you John chapter 5. You don't have to quote that, just I'm going to pull quotes from it. John chapter 5, verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. John chapter 5 is of special importance in demonstrating scripturally the divinity of the Lord Jesus. Jesus elaborates on his previous statements that he acts in perfect harmony with the Father, doing only what he sees the Father doing and whatever he sees the Father doing. And the Father, who loves the Son perfectly, still says the Son everything that he does. Here Jesus asserts that the prerogatives of resurrection and bestowing life, which the Jews knew belonged to God alone, remember that, are his as well. To read in John 5:22, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. The Lord expands upon his divine prerogatives by combining two things, an ability to bestow life upon whomever he chooses, and with the ultimate formal judgment, which is to take place at the hands of the Son of God. Therefore, the Father does not judge because of judgment in this verse. He has entrusted all such judgment to his beloved Son, and this Son gives life to whom he wills it to, because of the Father's entrustment for eschatological judgment. Of course, the audience here, the Jews, knew that God was the judge of all earth, as said in Genesis 18:25. For Jesus to claim that he has been given this said divine prerogative, in the context of defending himself against the numerous charges of blasphemy, it would be odd indeed.
Mr. Orthodoxy, can you hear me? If you can hear me, press on, please. Okay, you drop the mic. And one suggestion also, go either to do not disturb mode, and because your voice sometimes is cutting, and because of the BND you are being sent. Okay, go to BND, and look at the mic. If you see the letter or the number 2 being typed, it means there's no voice and you have to drop the mic.
Okay, I think I left off here. So now we ask ourselves, why does the Son receive all judgment, which is exclusive to God? He reveals the reason for this in the passage John 5:23, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. No proper angel has uttered such words of the Father, of honor with the Father, indeed, to God, with it seems inconceivable that any creature could ever do so to claim equality of honor with the Father.
I was thinking that you had less than under 1 minute, and the time is up, so I'll just keep an eye on the text so that you know and you can find the end of your sentences. Brother Wissam, the mic is yours, Akhi. 15 minutes for Brother Wissam.
الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If you can hear me right, plainly, if the sound is good, is loud and clear, start a shake with the I heard 15 minutes from Mr. Al-Zabti. I heard him talking about that Jesus has dual nature. Jesus is God and a man at the same time. And the Father and the Son, they share the same greatness. First, we discuss about is Jesus God, the divinity of Jesus Christ. I would like to divide this to 5 points. First one, the way in the Bible Jesus said, I am God. I am God. I am your Lord. I am your Creator. Adore me. Worship me. Where in the Bible? That's the first point. Second one. When you tell me that Jesus has dual nature, I would like to know. Where in the Bible Jesus said, I have a dual nature? Where in the Bible Jesus said, I am God manifested in flesh? Where in the Bible Jesus said, I am God and a man at the same time? Where in the Bible Jesus said, I am God and a man sometimes? Sometimes God, sometimes man. You see, what you're telling me is not in the Bible. What you're telling me is not biblical. It's not there. Jesus never claimed his God. Jesus never claimed his God manifested in flesh. It's not on the gospel. If it is there, you have to give me the verse. I would like to know. Where in the Bible Jesus declared, I am God. I am your creator. I am your Lord. Adore me. Worship me. Take me as your God. Take me as your Lord. It's not there. When you're telling me that Jesus has dual nature, Jesus is God and a man at the same time, where in the Bible Jesus changes? Where in the Bible? It's not there. Where in the Bible Jesus said, I'm God manifested in flesh. I am God and a man at the same time. Third, I would like to ask you the third point. Are you telling me Jesus is God because he's the Son of God? So when you're telling me Jesus is the Son of God, if he is God, Are you claiming because Jesus did miracles, then he is God? Because the miracle he did in his life on earth, you call him God? Because the miracle he did in earth? First, I would like to review some statements that you say that Jesus is God because he said this statement. So we have to divide the discussion in 5 points. First, where Jesus clarified, declared, I am God. Second, number two, where Jesus said, I have dual nature. I am God and a man at the same time. Or I am God manifested in flesh. Third, when you tell me Jesus is Son of God, how do you mean the Son of God? It means God himself? Son of God, did the nature mean God? Fourth, when you tell me Jesus is God because he did miracles, how do you mean you consider him God because he did miracles? Because when he was in earth, he did miracles. Six, if God come a statement, let's hear it from you. Statement, you think that means that Jesus is God. First, Jesus never claimed he is God. If I dare you, and I dare any Christian in earth, give me one specific statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am your God, I am your Lord, adore me, worship me, take me as God and Lord. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. It's there. Point out. Second, there is no verse, either anyone, in the Bible that Jesus said, I have permission. Third, actually, the theory about that God is a man is a hoax. With all respect to you, it's a hoax. God cannot be a man. God actually is not a man. God is not a man. Who said that? First, Jesus himself. And God himself. Let's start with God after that Jesus. In the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19, God said, I am not a man, nor the son of man. I'm not a man, nor the son of man. God declares, he is not a man. God is not a man. God is not a man. He's not. Also, in the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, Malachi 3, 6. Margot Tardana, please translate to Arabic. Translate to Arabic. Malachi 3, 6, it says, I am the Lord. I cannot change. I am the Lord. I cannot change. So God Almighty declares, he is not a man. God cannot change from God to man and man to God. God is unlimited. He cannot change to be limited as a man. If he changes and becomes limited, he's not God anymore. He's not God anymore. Finish. God is unlimited. God is all powerful. If he is become a man, he's not God anymore. He's not God. Second, Jesus himself. Jesus himself said, God is not a man. Where we find out this? I would like to write the time. The time left. The time leaves. Every minute I would like to know the time. Every minute I would like to know. Okay, now, from the mouth of Jesus Christ, Jesus declared, he is not, God is not a man. And Jesus is not God. God is not a man, and Jesus is not God. And the book of John 5:30. John chapter 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. Do nothing. But rather he said that Jesus is all powerful God. Jesus did everything God do. No, he cannot. I took you where the Jesus word. I trust you and I trust Jesus. Which word carry value? You or Jesus? Jesus said, I can, of my own self, do nothing, nothing. As I need a judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. It's not my will, it's the will of the Father, which has sent him. There is two wills, the will of the Father and the will of the Son, and the will of the Son submits to the will of the Father. Subject to the will of the Father. They are not in the same degree. The will of the Son subject submits to the will of the Father. And the Father sends the Son. The Son did not send the Father. The Father is not started to develop that one million on me. Now, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Listen to this. Listen very carefully to what he has said. If I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. Not true. Why? There is another that bear witness of me. Another. Not me. There is another person. Not me. Another. 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 Not me. Another person. Bear witness for me. He sent unto John, and he bear witness in the truth. Listen to this. Listen. But I received not testimony from a man. I received not testimony from a man. Not from a man. No. He is not from a man. Not from a man. Not, I received not testimony from a man. No. Okay, now Jesus said there is another person, another testifier for him. And this person is not a man. He is not human. He is not like us. I would like everybody to know, who is this other person? The person who is not human, he is not a man. Now, 537. Now, 537. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice, nor see his shape. Who testified for Jesus? The Father himself. Jesus said the Father is not a man. The Father himself, God is not a man. From the mouth of Jesus Christ, God is not a man. And the Father himself, which has sent me, and in his messenger, has done witness of me, testify for me. You have never heard those words at any time, nor seen his shape. How you can see Jesus and the Father are one, and Jesus himself that the Father is not me, is another person, and he is not a man. He is not human. He never heard his voice, nor see his shape. And you can say that. That is not a man. This theory about Jesus is God and man at the same time is hoax. Because Jesus confessed that God is not a man. God is not a man. Now give me 1 minute. I would like to go another also over here in the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 13, John 8, 13. Listen to this. The Pharisees, the Prophet, said unto him, this is Jesus Christ, John 8, 13, this report of Jesus, the report is not true. The report is not true. The Pharisees, the Rebbe, said unto him, to Jesus Christ, thou bearest record of Jesus. Thy record is not true. It's not true. Because you don't have to understand, your record is not true. Listen what Jesus answered in this. Listen the answer of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said, in number 17, it is also written in your law. It is also written in your law. And this is in the book of Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy 19:15, what he refers to, Deuteronomy 19:15. It is also written in his law that the testimony of two men is true. Of two men is true. I am the one that bear witness of myself. I am the witness of myself. And the Father that sent me bear witness of me. There is no two persons, two different persons. So different man, Jesus testified for himself, and the Father who sent Jesus also testified for him. How can you call him one man? How? Very clear over here, two different men. One testified for another one. And the testimony has to be two at least. Read the Deuteronomy chapter 19:15. It has to manage to be two men at least. Now we're going back to, that God Almighty is not a man. God is not a man. Here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 2, Ezekiel 28:2, says to the prince of power, thus the Lord God. Because your heart is lifted up. And your heart says, I am God. I am God. I teach the teeth of God. In the midst of the teeth. Listen. Yet you are a man. A man. A man. And not God. God is not a man. In the book of Ezekiel 28:9. When you say before him that kills you, I am God, but you are a man of God, but you are a man. A man. God is not a man. The book of Hosea 11:9. I will not execute the quietness of my anger. I will not return to destroy your tribe. For I am God, not a man. 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 Allah is a man. God is not a man. God, the tree of God is a man in the house. What Jesus said, Jesus in the book of Acts, chapter 2:22. Acts 2:22. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God, a messenger among you by miracles and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you. A man approved by God, a messenger of God, not God, a man approved by God. Jesus, what did he say about himself? Jesus said in the book of John, 8:40. John 8:40. I am a man telling you the truth, which I learned it from God. I am not God. I am a man telling the truth, which I learned it from God. I'm not God. Now, where Jesus said I am God? 2. Where Jesus said I have two natures? 3. When you tell me Jesus is the Son of God, you mean he's God? 4. Is Jesus' miracles mission God? Fish, we have a statement from you. Might be yours, Admin. Thank you very much.
Right after the speech, might be yours. You don't have to wait for me. Just when someone's time finished, they can leave with the mic for another debater. Take the mic.
Okay. You touched on some points. You said, where am I God? Where did you say that? You seem to think you have this logic that just because he doesn't say explicitly that he is God suddenly means that he isn't God. That's kind of interesting logic you have going there, Sam. I mean, yes, I'll agree that he doesn't say, I am God, worship me. But if you took heed to what I was saying earlier, especially what I was going to go on to, Jesus was equating himself with the Father, who is very God. Now, like I said, no prophet or angel had ever uttered such words in John 5:22 or 23, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. All the other Father in any area whatsoever is a tacit claim to equality with God. This is so obvious. Thus, by giving all judgment to the Son, the Father knows that his glory, which he will not share with another, which is in Isaiah 42:8, is not compromised and shared with his divine Son. And then we come across the spectacular clause, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus is making reference of the Father dependent upon reverencing him. You also said, where does he say he's dual-natured? Well, right here, the Word became flesh. It's in John 1. He drank, he ate, but then he also, and he knew ignorance, but he also knew all things, as said in John 16:30. That goes for the same thing for the third point. Where does it say he was manifested in flesh? The Word became flesh. It's simple right there in the text. I'm not sure I said that miracles made him God. I'm not sure I said that. You said the Son of God means God's Son. We could go into a whole thing about how the Son of God was, you know, God has multiple sons or whatnot. But throughout Scripture, Jesus is known as the unique Son of God, the one and only Son of the Father. the begotten one. He is not, the Greek word for this is monogenes. It's M-O-N-O-G-E-N-E-S. And this means unique, one and only, begotten, and, you know, what other son of God that has been mentioned in the whole Bible has been, you know, unique or one and only or begotten. You said that God cannot change from God to man and man to God or whatever. Actually, God never changed in Christian theology. I'm not sure where you're getting that. God never, like, turned into a man and just kept on human characteristics. The Word became flesh. I must reiterate that to you, Son. The Word became flesh. John 5:30, you said Jesus is, if we can get that up there, I don't have it off John 5:30. Actually, in the context of this, Jesus is telling that, right, he can act independently from the Father. The three persons of the Trinity do not act independently, but act in complete harmony. This is what Trinitarianism is. It's, I mean, to say that the Son acts completely off and different from the Father and the Son, we break it into a kind of a polytheistic doctrine. You also mentioned numbers. I've heard this before. The most important thing is point one, context, point two, context, and point three, context. The context of this passage is the wise hiring of Balaam to curse the children of Israel, although Balaam attempted to curse the Israelites, God forbid him, and commanded him to bless them instead. After doing so, Balak was upset at his actions. As a result, Balaam went back to God and tried to get God to allow him to curse the Israelites. God refused ultimately. Numbers 23:19 is a part of Balaam's speech to Balak concerning the Lord's answer. He said that God is not a man that he should lie, or that son of man that he should change his mind. God had spoken what he had spoken, and that was at the end of the story. Balaam was told to bless the Israelites, and he did. Now that he had blessed them subsequently, God had blessed them. There is no reversing the blessing. Balaam's point is that God is like men. Men are known for lying, and wait. So Balaam's point is that God is not like men. Men are known for lying and faithfulness and not keeping their word. God, on the other hand, never lies and has not. God will not change his mind in person immediately after blessing them. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, which are said in Romans 11:29. Only man who can be swayed by others, power, or and money, can be so fickle than God. He is holy and trustworthy. I would therefore like you, Asan, to explain these instances where God manifests himself and becomes so-called man. Ezekiel chapter 1, 26, and also chapter 2, verse 10. Then we also have Daniel 7, verses 9 through 10. We also have Genesis 32, 24 through 30. Anyways, I would like to continue with where Jesus, get back on track, where Jesus was equating himself with the Father. We all know that John 10:30, you know, I and my Father are one. This is quite a famous one. It demonstrates a lot of equality with the Father. The Koine Greek word "ten" has been the center of focus of debate with non-Trinitarians and Trinitarians who come to dialogue over this verse. Non-Trinitarians contend that "ten" means unity of purpose holding. Some also believe that Jesus is claiming to be one in person, which is a heretical plot condemned by the Church. However, throughout the last few passages preceding verse 30, the contextual evidence does not support any of these. Rather, it supports the fact that Jesus is saying he is one with the Father in the sense that they are united in essence. Jesus had just spoken not about his union with the Father's purpose, but with the Father's power, which is in verses 28 through 29. Jesus just said that no one can cast those out of the Father has given him from his hands. He has said that he gives eternal life to his sheep, a claim to divine prerogative in itself. Thus Jesus is not asserting that he is the same person as the Father, which would have demanded the masculine one, nor is he claiming unity and purpose of plan. In this context, he can only be asserting his unity with the Father as the author of eternal life and equal in power to him who is greater than all. So what you're saying, Hassan, is that Jesus is not saying he's God ultimately and explicitly. Well, why don't you go read John 5:22, John 5:23, John 10:30, John 5:21. These are all explicit claims that are showing that Jesus is equal with the Father. I don't know how you can get around them or ignore them. Next, I'd like to direct your attention to the famous I Am series. Jesus, throughout the Gospel of John, gives such statements as Ego and Unity. In Hebrew, it is Anihu. Throughout Isaiah, when we find cross references, John, Anihu is always attributed to Yahweh, and is a statement only he can make. Anyone else making the same statement would be guilty of an attempt to claim equality with God, or displace him. It signifies that Yahweh alone is God and is sovereign over history and creator. Let's look at where Jesus uses these claims, where Ego and Unity occurs. The first of the notable I Am sayings is in the book of John, where it says, I am the bread of life. This is in 6:35. As Jesus elicits their faith in himself, he has met with excellence to demonstrate his credentials. Now, it is in response to their quest that Jesus makes this stunning claim, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. What is also interesting in this context is that Jesus is talking about bread descending from heaven, and then by this, Jesus is not only implying that God gave bread from heaven in the past, and continues to do so in the immediate present, but was also implicitly stating that he himself is the bread of God come down from heaven. Quite a claim, you think. Jesus' statement, I am the light of the world, comes second. We can contend that in each of the I Am in the light of the world passages, which are 8, 12, 9, 5, 12, 35 to 36, and 46, the main thought is that Jesus is the only light, and that people must respond to becoming that light by giving him their love and believing in him. Apart from that, they are lost eternally. This matches up with what John is saying, that the light has been manifested to the world in his little prologue to the whole gospel. In chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus speaks of the shepherd. He adds an adjective to the word shepherd and makes a claim, I am the good shepherd. When Jesus used the term the good shepherd, he is speaking of his intrinsic goodness as well as his moral rectitude and duty. In his using the term shepherd, he is speaking of his position. He is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the one who protects, leads, guides, and nourishes the sheep. What is more, that when Jesus is questioned by the man earlier, he says, why do you call me good? God is good alone. Using contextual evidence, Jesus is essentially claiming he is God, by later adding, after the questioning, that he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd, right there, good shepherd, which he has reiterated to the fellow that goodness belongs to God alone. The rest of the predicate I am sayings are as follows. I am the resurrection of the life. I am the way and life. Over the way, the truth, and life. And I am the true vine. Let's look at the rather familiar passage, John 8:58. Truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Let's see. People keep on... In approaching a certain verse, I think we'll go around. I had a cool run-through with the property capture site in doubt. It's important to understand that in Greek as in other languages, the verb to be transliterated in English as ayini can be used in various senses to indicate the time element you want to convey. There is a present tense, a future tense, and a past tense, but since Greek is a very specific thing. The Hebrew-Greek Bible, Hebrew-Greek Key Study Bible, defines an imperfect tense to use continuous or habitual. The perfect tense, in contrast, refers to an action which takes place in the past and is perfected in the sense that its effects shall remain at the time of speaking. And finally, the pluperfect indicates a past time element, like the perfect, but pushed backwards so that the existing result of action wasn't past time. To explain this more clearly, to explain this more clearly, an example in English would be an example of how this tense would be in English, which would be, I had been in the perfect mode. It is undeniable fact that neither of these past tenses were used in John 8:58 to render the verb to be, and therefore any translations which had the present tense verb I may change to the past are simply inaccurate. No credible Greek grammarian or grammar book will ever argue that I may can be literally translated as had been or was, so that contends to us to believe that I am in John 8 is quite unique and not just a to-be issue. We must understand that if the words Igraimi are not translated I am for something indicative of the present tense verb, then that cannot be a true translation these texts are claiming. Jesus claimed to be the existing one in present time before Abraham came to the being in the past. Jesus claimed uncreated continuous existence in contrast to the coming into being of Abraham. Thus Jesus answered the questions of Jews about his greatness in comparison to Abraham and how his words are able to sustain life. Jesus said he was a self-existent eternal one who belonged to past all greatness in this, the giver and sustainer of all life. But the key words of Jesus in John 8:58 are literally translated to I am or I have, and the contextual environment grammatical text unambiguously show that Jesus did call himself that uncreated Yahweh of Israel. What is more, the Jews tried to stone Jesus for such a claim. So this is Jews responded by picking up stones to stone Jesus for what they thought was blasphemy. And I believe this is about time up.
We're going to speak to you, reading from this paper is not going to help you for the debate. We'd like to read where in the Bible Jesus said I'm God. It's not going to help you if you just read from this paper. No, I would like to know where in the Bible Jesus said I'm God. And I will have to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. You just admitted and you said there is no verse specific in the Bible that Jesus said I'm God. It's not there. You admit it. It's not there. Jesus never said I'm God. He did not say I'm God. You admit it. If Jesus never said I'm God. And you admit it. Why are you teaching him as the Lord? The man never said I'm God. Why are you worshiping him? Why are you adoring him? If you never say I'm God, if you never say I'm your Lord, I am your creator, worship me, adore me. Why teach him as God? If you admit it's not there in the Bible, Jesus never say I'm God. It's not there. It's not in the Bible. It's not biblical teaching. It is not biblical teaching. Why are you saying that Jesus is God? Why are you coming to one Christian and telling him Jesus is God? It is not biblical teaching. It is not there in your own Bible. Also Trinity, actually, Trinity either is not biblical teaching either. Trinity is not in the Bible. Why is Trinity in the Bible? Trinity is not there. Trinity is not biblical teaching. It's not there. And now when I ask you where in the Bible Jesus says, I have full nature, I am God and I am the same time, you tell me John 1:1 is not the word of Jesus Christ? It's not the word of Jesus Christ. It's the word of the writer of John Gospel. It's not the word of Jesus Christ. John 1:1 is not the word of Jesus Christ. It's the word of the writer of the Gospel of John. It's not Jesus. Jesus did not say, I am God and a man at the same time. Jesus did not say, I have dual nature. Jesus did not say, I'm God manifested in flesh. I am God and a man at the same time. And sometimes I'm God and sometimes man. أخي أبو الفارس ما تتكلمش كلام ده أبو الفارس ريت ذات أبو الفارس يا أخي نقطة حلوة أبو الفارس Jesus never said that. لا You spend 15 minutes reading from a piece of paper and you say if you took some verses from the book of John I will ask you a question. You took it from the book of John. Do you know what the verb is of writing with the book of John? The Gospel of John. Do you know the purpose of writing the Gospel of John? I'll tell you what. But I mean in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 31. John 20, 31. It says, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Did you hear me? The Gospel of John, the writer of the Gospel of John, is the subject declared the verdict of writing in the Gospel of John. Not to declare that Jesus is God, not to declare Trinity, no. No, but these are written in the Gospel of John that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. No, Jesus is the Christ. The Christ doesn't mean God. You know that. Christ in English, anointed one. The word in English, anointed one. The word in Hebrew, Messiah. The word in Aramaic, Messiah. The word in Greek, Christos. From Christos Christ. So Christ doesn't mean God. Christ doesn't mean the Son of God. Christ is meaning English language, anointed one. Okay, now, the Son of God. Are you telling me Jesus is God because the Son of God? No. From the mouth of Jesus Christ, he says, and the book of John, chapter 20, verse 17, John 20, 17, do not touch me yet, for I am not ascended. Listen, to my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Jesus did not say, you have privilege from us. He said, the God is our God and His God. The Father is our Father and His Father. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. So there is nothing unique about Jesus, Son of God. We are the Son of God, and Jesus Himself said that. If you deny, if you did, I would write a verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ. In the gospel, Jesus will say, no, my sonship to God is different than you. I am different son than you. No, he did not say that. He said, my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. No. And that believing you might have life through His name. Life through His name. And he said to him that Jesus did life eternal. Yes, Jesus did life eternal. You know what is this life eternal? You know what does that mean? What's the book of John? Let's go to the book of John. Now, the book of John, chapter 17. We start from verse 1. 17, verse 1. John 17, 1. This word speaks Jesus. And lift up his eyes to heaven. Lift up his eyes to heaven. Why? Because Jesus tried to communicate with the Lord. Tried to communicate with God. Tried to communicate with the Father. But why in heaven? Because Jesus entered as our Father in heaven. The Lord there, our Father in heaven. The Lord says in name, God is in heaven. Jesus said God in heaven. That's why Jesus looked up and tried to talk to God. The hour has come, the Lord says the Son. Now Jesus asking another person to glorify him. He's not asking himself. He's asking another person. They are not the same, they are not the same one. That the Son also may glorify thee. God glorifies the Son glorifies the Father. They are two different verses. As God has given power over all flesh. Who gives him the power? God. God, Jesus has no power by himself. It's from God. It's not from him. It's given by God. That he should give eternal life. He should give eternal life. As many God has given him. That even who? This Jesus as a prophet, as a messenger, this being also from God, that given, this Jesus, this Jesus, the believers, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given. And this is eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? What is eternal life, Jesus gives? What is eternal life? And this is eternal life. That they might know thee. The only true God, only one true God, one true, the Father, the God in heaven, not Jesus, Jesus was in earth, talking about God in heaven. You are the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and I am your messenger. Again, this is eternal life, this is life eternal, that the night will be the Father, the God in heaven. The only true God, one and true, no Trinity, no Father and Son and Holy Ghost, only one God, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, That is the second one. So now we are very clear. From the writer of the Gospel of John, you have no right. You have no right to get any proof, any evidence, claiming that Jesus is God, because the writer of the Gospel himself declares that he is bounded not to testify Jesus is God, not to testify Trinity. No, no, no. John 20, 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that reason might have life through him. Not God, not Trinity, he just is the Christ. No problem, I believe he is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. We believe that, we have no problem. But he's not God. He's not God. He's not part of Trinity. You cannot tell me now both from the book of John to prove that Jesus is God. How you can do that? How you can do that? Now, even so, the verses you said, now John 1:1, what is saying? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Excuse me? In the beginning, God has no beginning. God is eternal. God is eternal, has no beginning. Read Habakkuk 1:12. Are thou everlasting God? Everlasting. Habakkuk 1:12. God is eternal. And now, the Word is God. How can the Word is God? And the Word was God. Bridge. Where's the differentiate between two different things? How can the Bible with me and I am and the Bible is one? The book with me, how can I am the book? No. Where's the differentiate between two different things? And if you think that the Word is God, so now we think, in the beginning was God, and God was God, and God is God. Does it make sense to anybody? No. You think that Jesus is God because he said before Abraham, I am. He is God because he said before Abraham, I am. Now, I would like you to go to the book of John, chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 8. 9:8 John. The neighbor, the letter, and then which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is that this? He sat and begged. Somebody used to beg, asking for money, charity. John 9:9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am. The bigger said I am, then the bigger is God. The bigger must be God. The bigger must be God, he said I am. No. If I ask you, are you as if she is, say yes, I am. Are you with them, I am. Are you from the I am? Is that mean I am God? No. No. I am. Yes, I am. Is that mean I'm God? No. That mean I'm God. Now he's telling me, Jesus said, I am and the Father are one. The book of John 10:30, I am and the Father are one. And he's telling me, they are one and they have the same essence, same greatness. I would like you now to go to the same chapter, one verse before 10:30. One verse, only one verse. Chapter 10, verse 29. 10:29. What Jesus said? My Father, which gives in me, is greater than all. Is greater than all. Is greater than all. What all mean in English language? In your own language. All what all mean. All mean all. Everybody. Including everybody, Jesus himself. Including Jesus. Including the Holy Spirit. Including every single thing exists. In the universe, God is greater than it. Anything. Also in the book of John 14:20, Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. The Father is greater than I. The Father is greater than I. How can they have the same greatness? How can they have the same greatness? How come? How can they have the same greatness? The Father is greater than all. The Father is greater than I. And then a man came to Jesus Christ and told Jesus Christ, What is the first commandment of all? The first commandment of all. What did Jesus reply? Did Jesus say, I am God? I am part of Trinity? No, he did not say that. He said, Shema Israel. Adonai Elohim, Adonai God. Shema Israel. He came back. He came back. Shema Israel. Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Echad. Listen, O Israel, our Lord God is one Lord. One Lord. One Lord. There is no Trinity. What time I left? Can you tell me the time to reach? How much time left? Can you tell me how much time left? Can you tell me how much time left to reach? Relax, yeah, relax. Fine, please. You know what I said to you and to everybody? Jesus, he did not say, I am God. It's not this. Are you yourself admitted? There is not the finished word that Jesus said, I am God. And if you admit that Jesus did not say, I am God manifested in flesh. I am God and I am in the same time. It's not this. It's not biblical truth. It's not biblical teaching. It's not biblical teaching. It's not this. Trinity is not biblical teaching. Trinity is not gospel teaching. Time out, light is yours. Go ahead, take the mic.
Okay, interesting comments. Thinking about before, I forewarned about this in my opening. I talked about how we, in approaching Christianity, we need to know truly what is the dual nature, the Trinitarian formula. You seem to convey a lack of knowledge to this. You quote John 20:17, my God and your God. This is where the dual nature will be applied. As Jesus, as he is dual natured, of course he would have a God in his humanity. But does this degrade his divinity at all? No, not at all. It actually doesn't even affect his divinity at all in any way. So, it's kind of a weak argument right there. You quoted John 17:1 and I think a few other ones. What's here is that God gave Jesus the authority to use his power to give him eternal life, which means that Jesus must be God, since only God can give eternal life. So Jesus only works in union with what the Father commands, so that the Father granted Jesus authority to use his own power, a power that he already had, but only could use in union with what the Father allows. You also quote John 1:1. I think you quoted the first clause in the beginning was the word. This is actually kind of a cute argument, Tommy, what you gave. You said God does not have a beginning. Nowhere in there does it say that the word, the logos, is at all getting has a beginning at all. The Son of God, or the word of the logos, was begotten out of eternity. So, what in the beginning was the Word means the pre-existence of Christ. It's talking about, just like in John 17:3, I think. Can you get that up there? John 17. How about John 17:1-3? Anyways, what I'm trying to show here is that Jesus is Jesus in that area, he talks about the pre-existence of himself, to share in the glory that he had before the world began. That's another instance of where Jesus talks about his pre-existence. Furthermore, in John 1:3, it shows that the Word created everything, so he existed before everything, because the Word, everything was made through the Word. So he had no beginning. The divine nature, we need to understand, never had a beginning or an end. God did not die on the cross, or God was not born in a virgin. God is forever. The Son of God was begotten out of eternity, just like I said. And as it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The meaning that the Word was in the beginning, it was pre-existent. The Word was with God, the Father, and the Word is God, of the same essence of the Father. Let's see. And then he further here quotes, just quoting a bunch of hoopla about Jesus being a man or whatnot. It really doesn't have much support. You need to first understand what's from is the Trinitarian formula and the dual nature, and it appears that, you know, you really don't have a grasp, full grasp of it. And I hope that I'm coming through enough that you're understanding what these are. You keep on reiterating that dual nature or the incarnation or whatnot is not evident in the Bible. So then how do you reconcile Jesus having all power and authority on earth and Jesus not knowing when the judgment would come? I mean, Jesus, he grew up in knowledge, but Jesus had all knowledge. He both had the natures of God and man. That's just how simple it is. And it's all over the Bible. I mean, you just have to look and compare and contrast. You just have to look. What this subject is dealing with, you're not going to find a lot of explicit quotes as you would find in the Quran. You find a lot of indirect quotes, a lot of implications, and then, as John 5, it's right there. It's right there in front of you. Jesus is making equality with the Father. And also, now I'd like to go into more quotes that I'd like to share with you. It has something still to do with I Am. I Am. You said that suddenly this makes Jesus God. Well, I Am is a divine claim. It's what Yahweh of the Old Testament claimed. And like I said, this was only exclusive to God, Yahweh, alone. And for Jesus to claim such would be just utter blasphemy to the Jews around him. So it's not saying ultimately that, you know, oh my gosh, this is God. No, it's saying that he's divine and that he's asserting himself as the same essence of Yahweh, of God. Therefore, indirectly saying that he is their God. I'd like to also show you something from, this is from John 18, 5-7. This would show the impact of Jesus, what he was talking about when he said, I am. This is John 18, verses 5-7. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, now there, right there, knowing all things would come upon him, is an exclusive, right there in the text, showing omniscience. So, I mean, you can go back to that if you want to, but I'm just saying, right there is verse showing that he is omniscient and knowing all things. Continuing on, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I came upon this quote a few days ago. I found it quite interesting. There's a behold, an unpredicated I am. But look at the reaction of the audience. They drew back and fell to the ground. Why? What was so astonishing which made them draw back and fall to the ground? The context, it can be seen that Jesus is saying that I am he. They understood that the title, like I said, only is exclusive to Yahweh, who claims, which is ultimately a divine title. And you have yet to prove to me only a man, could give such titles. Now, speaking of titles, while we're on the subject, I'd like to go into, shift into what the Lord Jesus said about himself and what was said about the Lord Jesus in the book of Apocalypse or Revelations. I'd like to focus on the divine title, the first and the last. Then Mr. Rasan, to my knowledge, it is in the Quran, even in the Quran, that first and last is considered a divine title, as in Surah 5.
I totally agree that the debate is about the Bible, is not just of the Quran, at all. Against orthodoxy, and what is religion?
Well, I was just skimming over something. I wasn't going to go full depth into whatever. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah 44:6 reads as, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." Furthermore, Isaiah 48:12 reads in the divine title, "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first and I am also the last." Using cross-references, we can find that Jesus claims his title as well in Revelations chapter 1, 17 through 18, chapter 2, 8, and chapter 22, verses 12 through 13. Let's look at Revelations 1, 17 through 18. Can we get that posted in the room? Revelations chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. "I am the first and the last and the living one. What man can claim such? To my knowledge, an ordinary prophet, quote unquote, in the Bible have claimed such a title, which is absolutely exclusive of God Almighty." Then also we find in Revelations 1, we're steering away from the topic, no pain. I wouldn't go on to that. I wouldn't have to go into the category of crucifixion. Revelations chapter 1, 7 through 8. "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him, even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Who's speaking here? Who is the Lord God? If we look in there and using contextual clues, we find that Jesus is the one speaking here. It's kind of evident. You can just look it up and find that it is Jesus speaking about it, and he is referred to as the Lord God. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Now this is interesting. We're going to go more into metaphors, and which is full of, what's the goal of Revelation? This is in Revelation chapter 5, 6 through 7. "And I claimed and I looked and, behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood as a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out all onto the earth. Then he came back into the scroll and took the scroll out of the hand, right hand of him who sat on the throne." Biblical numerology needs to be applied here. "Hell of the Lamb of God," in other words, the Son of God, does have seven eyes and seven horns. Revelation is full of metaphorical references and symbols, as I said. So let's first look at what the important verse of seven, as I mentioned, we're going to have a look into biblical numerology. "In the creation of the world, God rested on the seventh day." And I quote, "On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because it had, and as he rested from all his work which God had created and made." The seventh day was a mark of completion and of perfection. This thing can reply to the Lamb of God. He is the seven horns, symbolizing seven perfect horns, meaning that seven, you know, equals perfect. Horns, therefore, mean power or authority. Therefore, perfect authority, or in other words, omnipotence. And we can do it the same applies. Perfect sight for knowledge. Seven we have for perfect, and then eyes for, you know, sight. And then another word here, the omniscience. We talked about this earlier, omniscience and omnipotence in an earlier section of the speech. And we all need to agree that it is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipotence are only exclusive to God alone. And so if you could explain to me plainly, Sam, why Jesus is attaining such omniscience, omnipotence, why Jesus is equating with himself throughout the Bible, why Jesus is taking such divine titles as I am, or Ego Eimi, why Jesus is being referred to as God. And I've answered pretty much all of what you're saying about the dual nature being in the New Testament and a bunch of others. Now, I said earlier that we would look over what people said about Jesus, such as in the epistles. I'd like to look at 2 Peter 1:1. This is written from Simon Peter. You know, St. Peter. Could you get that posted? 2 Peter 1:1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Serving an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like a precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is. There it is, folks. Right there. God and Savior. As we read also in Titus chapter 2, 12 through 13. It's chapter 2, 12 through 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that... Did you get it, okay? The second one, Titus, Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Titus chapter 2, 12 through 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and unworldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is, right there.
Thank you very much. Learning the Bible, Jesus said, I'm God. You have very weak arguments. Very weak arguments. You have nothing to offer, you have nothing to say. Now you are attacking me personally. Last 15 minutes. Why? Because he said you don't have anything to know about the true nature of Jesus Christ. When in the Bible, Jesus said that. When in the Bible, that's what you believe. It's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. Why you force your belief in us? It's not there. When you're telling me Jesus is God and a man at the same time, it's not there. That's what you think. It's not there. Prove it. Prove it in the front of everybody. Prove it. Prove it. When Jesus said, I have a dual nature. When Jesus said, I'm a man and a God at the same time. Where is Trinity in the Bible? Prove it. You couldn't even know anything about the dual nature. Where is dual nature? Where Jesus said, I have a dual nature? Where Jesus said, I'm a man and a God in the same time? Where in the Bible Jesus said, I am God manifested in flesh? Where? And instead of attacking me, give me evidence, proofs. Prove your case. I was glad to hear from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am God. I am your creator. I have a dual nature. You see, what you say does not hold water. What you say does not hold water. Because what you say is not what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus said. That's what you say. That's your belief. But Jesus does not say, I am God. Jesus does not say, I am God manifested in flesh. I have a dual nature. I am God and a man in the church. Just show us opportunity, prove it in everybody, and affront everybody in the room. Choose children, let's hear it from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And God and man at the same time. Yes. If Jesus is not saying God, if Jesus does not say I have done this show, why you force it in us? Why you shovel it in our mouths? Why you shovel it in our mouths? If Jesus does not say I'm God and a man at the same time, I have done this show, why you shovel Trinity in our mouths? Why? It's not biblical term. It's not biblical teaching. God is not a man. Jesus himself said God is not a man. God is not a man. Jesus himself, I say it one more time, for the benefit of everybody, so everybody bear witness. Again, Jesus himself said God is not a man. God is not a man. In the book of John chapter 5:30, John 5:30, I said, of my own self do nothing. I can do nothing for my own self. Absolutely nothing. What kind of God is? What kind of God? As I hear a judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. It's not my will. The will of the Son submits to the will of the Father. How come? If the author of the word says, that has the same greatness, why you didn't tell me that the will of the Father submit to the will of the Son? The will of the Father is but go to the will of the Son. But only the Son is second to Christ to the Father. The Father is greater than the Son. The Son is second to Christ. Second to Christ. All the time. Now, John 5:31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another, there is their witness of me, another. Not me, another. Somebody else. It's not me. Somebody else. I would like to know who is their witness for Jesus. Who is this another person? Now, and I know that the witness which she witnessed of me is true. You can come to John and he bear witness of the truth. But I receive no testimony from a man. I receive no testimony from a man. The one who witnessed for him, he is not a man. He is not human. He is not like us. He did not accept testimony from man. Okay, who is going to testify for him? And he is not a man. And he is another person. Who? The Father, God Almighty, in the same chapter, 537, and the Father himself, the which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice, nor seen his shape. Jesus says that God is not a man. The Father is not a man, because Jesus denied that he would accept witness from a man. He accepts witness only from God Almighty. And God is not a man. And he took another, not me, another version. So what are you talking about this harmonious union between the Father and the Son? Where is that? Who is that? Where is it in the Bible? It's not biblical what he's saying. It's very weak argument. Your doctrine of beliefs is not in the Bible. It's not in the gospel. Jesus did not say that. Now, you should have been surprised now. Now we're talking about the revelation of John. Revelation of John? Revelation of John? You know what the meaning of revelation? Somebody was dreaming. Somebody was dreaming. Dreaming. God is a lamb. Can you dream everybody that he said, one of them proves that Jesus is God, that Jesus is a lamb? Yasuh al-Kharuf. الدليل بتاعه يسوع والخروف هو يوحنا 5:6 وهؤلاء ورأيت في وسط العرش الحيوانات الأربعة وفي وسط الشيوخ خروف هذا هو دليل على ألوهية المسيح الخروف كان يدريك ذات في الجروب ذات جيزة الجار جيزة الزلام هو سيفن ذا ثرون وسيفن هورن عن سيفن آيز أعلام وسيفن هورن عن سيفن آيز جاد المايتي الزلام with seven hands and seven eyes. God Almighty is a ram with seven horns and seven eyes, and this is proof that Jesus is God. The Pharaoh Dawah Allah Yashu, Abu Saba Aru Saba Ari. And now, listen to this, something was, he was very specific, listen to this. Now he told, listen to this, listen. Look to the text, look to the text. He put the revelation of John chapter 1, 17. Look to the text. John 1, 17. In John 1, 17 it says, and when I saw him, I went down on my face, at his feet, at one good, and he put his right hand on me, saying, have no fear, I am the first, and the last, and the living one. It's heaven is God. Look to the text. Now, brother Newman took number 18. He resisted. He said, no. No number 18. No. He took number 18. Hey, Achi. That's not it, Achi. That's not it. Revelation 1:18. Revelation of John 1:18. Now listen to this. When the brother saw John 18, he told him, no, stop. You know why stop? He told him, no, I'm not talking about that. Don't quote this. Do not quote this. Read the two verses, 17:18. You know why? I tell you why. Because the verse says, I am the flesh, I was dead. I was, and was dead. Was dead. And then yes, God was dead. That's why he couldn't stop. No, stop, I don't want this. This and the shows. No, I don't want this. He couldn't stop. No, I don't want it. Please, you read number 17, number 18. One thing says, I was this. Can God die? If God died, God Almighty, the Lord of the universe, was dead one time. God, the Lord of the universe, was dead one time. I don't know. God cannot die. Listen to Paul in the first letter of Timothy. First letter of Timothy 6:15, it says, you are everlasting God. The only one cannot die. The only one living cannot die. The first letter of Timothy 6:15, God said in the book of Deuteronomy 52:40, Deuteronomy, I live forever. In the book of Ezekiel, 18:3, I am the living God. In the book of Habakkuk, 1:1, you are everlasting God, everlasting God. In the book of Jeremiah, 10:10, God, the true God, is a living God. The true God is a living God. Not dead. He was dead for 3 days. That's why he didn't want to put this. He just put Revelation of John 1:17. When he tried to put one into this, no, stop. Do not put this. Do not put it. I don't want this. It's not fit for service. It's not even the only way. No, please. Do not put this. Now we're talking about Jesus. You're talking about Jesus? Listen what Jesus is. In the book of Acts, 2:22, book of Acts 2:22. 2:22, what is that Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth, a man, not God, a man, approved by God, among you, by miracles and wonders, which God did by him. And the man is with you. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved by God, among you, by miracles and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, a messenger of God. And these miracles by God, by the permission of God, if not by Jesus' authority, Jesus himself said, I shall do nothing from my own self. You're talking about Jesus' authority. Listen to this. John 5:30. I cannot do nothing from my own self. Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me It's not his power. It's given to him. Given. Somebody give it to him. Who give it to him? The Father. Because the Father is God. You never read the verse in the Bible that the Son gives the power to God, the Father. The Son gives authority to the Father. All the time, the Father gives authority to the Son. Everything about the Father. Because the Father is God. Philip declares. Jesus is second declares. He submits to the Father. Subdued to the Father. In Matthew 12:28, I cast out children by the Spirit of God. Not me, by the Spirit of God. In Luke 11:20, I was the finger of God, cast out children. I was the finger of God. Not me, by God's permission, I cast out children. In the book of John 5:19, the son shall not do nothing from his own strength. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. The son can do nothing by his own self. So now I'm telling you, I give you the world back. I give you the world back. When Jesus said on God, you admit it is not good. When he's telling me Jesus is God and I'm at the same time, I insist to hear a statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ that Jesus said, I am God and a man at the same time. I, God manifested in flesh. I have due nature. Nobody will accept it from you. Because you have no evidence. Because Jesus did not say this anywhere in the Bible. It's not biblical teaching that Jesus said, I am God and a man at the same time. So do not tell me this due nature. It's a history. Do not say it. It's a history. It's not there. It's not biblical teaching. Jesus did not say that. Now, when you tell me that Jesus is the Son of God, I told you. Jesus said, the Father is my Father and your Father. My God and your God. There's no difference. If he says there's a difference between us and Jesus, as the Son of God, prove it. Where in the Bible Jesus said, I'm different than you. My sonship to Father is different than you. Jesus did not say that. Jesus said in the book of John 20:17, my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Create God. My God. How many gods you worship? How many gods you have? My God and your God. And let's hear the rest of you. You have now 20 minutes. Your last 20 minutes. After that I have my last 20 minutes. Prove your case. You have very weak arguments. You should keep reading from this verse. My kids, 20 minutes.
Okay, yet again, Wassam, you just have proven to bring up a bunch of redundant arguments. You haven't brought anything new to the table. You asked for the same thing over and over again. Where is God? Where is God? Where is Jesus saying that he's God? Have you read the New Testament at all? I mean, you need to read the whole New Testament and come back to me, and then we can have another debate. But it's appearing to me that you haven't at all studied Christian theology, nor let alone the New Testament. You keep on mentioning is the dual nature. Go and read him eating and drinking. Go read him having all authority on power and earth. Go read the Word becoming flesh. Go read him gaining knowledge as he grew up. Go read him having all knowledge of everyone. Go read about him knowing thoughts of everyone. Go read the Psalm. And you need to realize that Jesus claimed divine promise. He claimed to be the Lord God. He claimed so many things that you seem to be neglecting. What I would also like to bring to your attention is that you quoted Acts 3:15, I believe. No, you quoted Acts. I'd also like to bring to your attention that Peter, he says, the man, Jesus Christ, or Jesus of Nazareth. What about Peter's words in Acts 3:15, where Peter calls Jesus the author of life? Can you get that up on the screen? Acts 3:15? This is where we just came. Yes, man, proof of God, knowing you by miracles. Yes, I acknowledge that Jesus is fully human. I don't know where you guys are getting away with that. You don't understand the dual nature. You need to understand that Jesus is fully human. Fully human. Fully human, fully human. Yes, Jesus was of God. The man, Jesus Christ. Now, if I can get Acts 3:15 up there, help prove my point. The Prince of Life. So Peter affirms Jesus is both a man and God, since God, Jesus is the Prince of Life and still the Prince of Life and God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, which states right there. If we read in 1 Corinthians 15:24, we can get that also out there. Okay, that doesn't at all prove, not showing it at all. Anyways, we can get up 1 Corinthians 15:24, there we go. 42, sorry. 24. Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. So Jesus gives the king, the Father, Father God, the kingdom. Okay. So Jesus has... Hold on a second. Phone call. Excuse me for all that. Father, when he puts all ends, all and all authority to the power. So this sort means that he has the kingdom of heaven in his grasp. Prophet, or what man, has the whole kingdom of God in his hand. There's all the power, authority of heaven and earth, from which I stated earlier. This doesn't show... It's showing that Jesus is... he has all omnipotence all over the kingdom. You also mentioned with him is that just because we don't trust the words of 2 Peter or Titus, well, these people were apostles and eyewitnesses to Jesus' ministry. So I know this is kind of going against your little argument that, you know, you want to see where Jesus says he is God. I've already provided, you know, I've already said that Jesus doesn't say explicitly, that Jesus is, he doesn't say that I think Jesus is not God. It just means that Jesus, and I think that, as I've shown, he equates himself with the Father, and what more do you need? I mean, he's equating himself with all the divine attributes, and what man, I ask you, what, nowhere else in the Bible, if you have read it, no, there is no man who has full omnipotence or full omniscience. It's just not plain. Anyways, I reread in more comments and verses. Matthew 23:34 also found this quite interesting, which you should be able to hear and listen. Matthew 23:34. Quote, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes." Jesus is talking here. this is quite frank. In Jewish belief, it is God that is responsible for sending prophets. And saying that he will send prophets, Jesus is equating himself with God once again, assuming a role reserved for God alone. Furthermore, we see more divine equating in Matthew 29, which parallels, Matthew 9:2, chapter 9, verse 2, which parallels in Mark 2:5, Luke 5:20, and Luke 7:48. Just quote Matthew 9:2 for now. Jesus tells people that their sins are forgiven. Forgiveness requires the right to forgive. Therefore, Jesus is forgiving the sins of others that he had no personal connection with, in case that he believed that he was the only one who was offered or offended by all sins, and therefore had the right to forgive them, the author of all moral law. The faithful Jew acknowledged that only God can forgive the sinner. Jesus claimed to be Almighty God by forgiving the sins of another man who had sinned against God, which is Mark chapter 2, 5-10. This, under normal circumstances, was ground for blasphemy. This is nothing new by the Jews, because only God can forgive those who sin against him, which is found in Psalms 51, Mark chapter 2, 5-10. This, under, like I said, this under normal circumstances was ground for blasphemy, because only God can forgive those who sin against him. This is in Psalms 51, 2-4, and Isaiah 43:25. Expect you to quote no pain. Psalms 51. You shall have God as the only source for forgiveness. Therefore, form. Anyways, get that pulled up. 2 through 4. Anyways, also, kind of get onto this. The song mentioned how you don't trust people, the apostles, apparently, what they had to say. And how smart that is, because the apostles and the apostolic fathers in his writings have quite a lot of weight upon it. And I will have the apostolic fathers in his writings and their objection by saying, what did Jesus say he's done? Whatever. Tradition tells us that Clement of Rome, he was early church father, he was apostolic father, and actually, if we read in his writings against the Sabellians, who are heretical group in the first century. For as the Son was made, there was assembly in the Father, and in Christ is in the Word, the wisdom and power. For the divine writings tells us that Christ is these, as you know in yourself, you know, as you yourselves know, surely these are the powers of God. Wherefore, if the Son was made, there was a time when these were not in existence, and thus there was a time when God was without these things, which is utterly absurd. So, Clement of Rome, he's saying that Christ assuredly has such powers of God, therefore, which has been said throughout my speech and demonstrated by scriptural evidence. He was a bishop of Smyrna. He was actually taught by the Apostle John as a disciple of him. That's him, without wrath and patience and long-suffering and endurance and purity. And may he give you lot in part with the saints and to us with you. With longer heaven, who shall believe in our Lord and God, Jesus Christ, and his Father, who raised him from the dead. Polycarp mentions Jesus as the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ, therefore showing that Jesus is the unique Son of God, being he is only begotten. And Polycarp is able to bring us all in by his grace and gift into his eternal kingdom through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, honor, and strength, majesty forever. Amen. And the Apostle Barnabas, who was a follower of Paul, I believe, if I'm getting my apostolic history right, he writes in his epistle, for it is concerning us that the scripture says that he says to the Son, let us make our man, let us make man after our image and likeness, and let them rule the beasts of the earth and the birds of heaven and the fishes of the sea. So here, that the Son had a participation in the creation of the world, as demonstrated in John's Gospel, when he says, throughout us age and invention, it was actually thought and taught by both by many of the apostolic fathers. And then, let's see, where are we? The Epistle of Ignatius to the Ephesians. Ignatius, Saint Ignatius, who was of Antioch, he was taught by Peter and John. So in his Epistle of Ignatius to Ephesians chapter 15, which reads, our Lord and God, right there, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, first dead and then taught, as we testify his praises in the gospel through all the churches. Then in the Glory of the Cross chapter, Ignatius writes, let my spirit be counted as nothing for sake of the cross, which is a stumbling block to those who do not believe, but to our salvation of life eternal. Where is the life man? Where is the disputer? Where is the boasting of those who are stubborn? Was according to the appointment of God, conceived in the womb of Mary, by the seed of David, conceived in the womb of Christ. So as we see the solid authority on them, I mean, you can't just wait this up. I mean, these people have received what was from the apostles, who were eyewitnesses to Jesus's pilgrimage. We find that it is explicit that in the apostolic writings that Jesus is made God, even though he doesn't claim it himself. That does not justify that it isn't true and that it isn't valid, because these people didn't carry on the truth and the authoritative source of what was witnessed of Jesus. And I cannot stress to you how much importance this is, because to just ignore what is found in Holy Tradition and what is found in and evidence of who Jesus is, to ignore this is to ignore Christianity in itself. And I have given you a foretaste of what is to come. So I hope you look more up on that. I'd just like to recap of what I've said. I cannot stress how much importance it is to all of you that we all understand people tell us, or what Muslim apologists say. We have to go by what is written by the fathers, what is written by the apostles. We have to understand and dialogue. This is what this room is, Muslim Christian dialogue. This is a place for understanding and learning about certain aspects of the religion. And today, apparently, it's on Christianity. And Hashem, sadly, have fallen short of understanding of what Christian doctrine is. Specifically, the Trinitarian formula and the dual nature, like I have repeated over and over and over. It is vital for you, Hashem, to fully read the New Testament and what is true of the text. We cannot just simply ignore what is this and try and put your foot around what the same honor to the Son as we do to the Father. And how we honor the Father is through worship, and after he tells me to honor the Son, and this is what Jesus says, these are his true words, and there is only one truth, one God, one baptism, one faith, and we should harden our hearts against what is true, and open our minds, and understand with a full, attentive mind what is fact and what is fiction. Thank you, everyone, and God bless, and keep you all, and hopefully he will steer you into the truth.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر. He said it. He admitted that. He said exactly that the apostolic church believes that Jesus is God. Even so, Jesus is not claiming his God. Again, he said the apostolic church believe Jesus is God. Even Jesus did not kill him, he is God. Finished. Done. Allahu Akbar. Takbir. Walillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar. قال إن الكنيسة على الطريق تؤمن أن المسيح هو الله مع إن المسيح لم يقل عن الله. 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 apostolic assurance. Believe that Jesus is God, even so, Jesus said, it's not him, he is God. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. What we teach is not biblical. That's the word. But I agree. What you're telling us is not biblical. It's not biblical truth. It's not in the Bible. When you say that Jesus is God, it's not there. You admit more than one time that Jesus never claimed he is God. Somebody wants to ask what I believe, 20 minutes. Somebody, the time 20 minutes, please. Jesus never said I'm God. It's not there. And when you think about the full nature of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has full nature, he is the God and the man at the same time. It's not there. Jesus never claimed, I am God and a man at the same time. I am God manifested in flesh. I have good nature. No, he did not say that. He did not say I am God. He did not say I am God manifested in flesh. I know that's what you believe, but not in the Bible. And you already admit it. Jesus never claimed that he is God. Or Jesus claimed that he is a divine. Or Jesus claimed that he is a God and a man at the same time. It's not it. It's not biblical truth. It's not it. The debate is over a long time ago. From the first 15 minutes. And we keep going to the back to affirm to everybody who listens to the debate, Muslim and non-Muslim, that Jesus never claimed he is God. Jesus never claimed he has no nature. The Christian can come and tell us that Jesus is God and man at the same time. There is a Trinity, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. It's not there. Trinity is not biblical truth. Trinity is not in the Bible. No. When you talk about people, what Jesus said about Jesus Christ, this is what Jesus said. Says in the book of Acts 2:22, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God by miracles and wonders, to which God did by him. One, two. This is also Peter, he said, Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 2:32, book of Acts 2:32, God has raised this Jesus. There is two different verses. God raised Jesus. Jesus was dead and then raised him. How can God have the same and the God the same? One was dead, one was alive. God cannot die. The one was dead was not God. The one is alive, the other is God. He also listen to this very, very important from the mouth of Peter in the book of yes, in the book of Acts, chapter 2:36, Acts 2:36, it says that God has made this Jesus, both Lord and Christ. God made him. God made him. God made him. He said God. God made him. Also, he says God raised up his children. God raised up his children. In Acts 3:26, Allah Akbar, يقول أقام الله عبده أقام الله عبده God raised his servant. God raised his servant. His servant. Jesus Christ is actually created by God. It's created by the Father. The letter of creation, chapter 1:15. كل شيء واحد خمس أسر يقول. Creation 1:15. Paul says about Jesus Christ, he is the first one of God creation. The first one of God creation. First born of God creation. God creates him. Creates him. And the book of Revelation, chapter 3:14. Revelation 3:14. It says, Jesus is the beginning of God's creation. The beginning of God's creation. The beginning of God's creation. How come he's God? God's creation. Creation. How will come he's God? The beginning of God's creation. Revelation of John 3:14. The beginning of God's creation. Now I'm going to move to you from the Bible that Jesus is different than the Father. And the Father is different from Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is something different. The three of them is three different identities. They are different versions, complete different versions. Now, I would like you to go to the book of John, chapter 5, verse 27. John 5, 26. Whereas the Father has life in himself, the Father has life in himself, to have, he is given to the Son to have life in himself. You see, the Father by his own self, he has his own life. But Jesus got his life from the Father. The Father gave it to him. That means Jesus, without the Father, he cannot be alive. He's not there. He needs the Father. He's dead without the Father. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. There are just two different versions. Two. In the book of John chapter 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life. To know you, you are the only true God and Jesus Christ in your sin. Two persons. The Father is true God and Jesus Christ his messenger. This is the Latin right. To know you are the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sin. Whom you sin. Now, there are two different verses. Now, in the book of John 5:30. I come from my own self to do nothing. As I need a judge. And my judgment is just. Because I do not teach my word, I teach the one who sent me. There is two ways. The will of the Father and the will of the Son. The will of the Son shall do to the will of the Father. Now, in the book of John chapter 6, verse 38. I'm coming down from heaven, not to do the will, but the one who sent me. It's not my will, it's two will. The will of the Son submits the soul to the will of the Father. There are two different versions. John 14:28. The Father is greater than us. Two different. They do not have the same essence, same greatness. The Father is greater than the Son. In the book of John 16:5, I will go to the one who sent me, and nobody asks me where I go. Jesus gone to another person. Two different verses. One gone to another person. How come they are the same? Not the same. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 12, Luke 6:12, he says that Jesus is still up all the night to pray to God, all the night long, make prayers to God. He was praying for himself? No. He was praying to whom? To the Father. To God himself. If Jesus is God, he needs to pray to himself? Okay. If there are two equal, why the Father does not pray to the Son? Why the Father is praying to all the night? Pray to the Son. Why the Son? He has to pray to the Father. Why the Son? He has to ask to the Father. Why the Father has to give the Son? Because the Father is greater than the Son. The Father is very secret. The Son is the second class. The Son is a slave and messenger to the Father. He's my God. You said that Jesus forgives sin. That Jesus forgives sin. Why on the cross? On the cross. In the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23:34. Why on the cross? He said, oh my Father, forgive their sin because they do not know what they do. Oh Father, forgive their sin, because they do not know what they do. And Jesus is God, and he has the power to forgive the sin. Why he asks somebody else, another person, to forgive the sin? Why he asks somebody else? Yeah, if he forgives the sin, he forgives the sin of everyone. Why he does not forgive the sin? Why he asks somebody else? Now, in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 27-38, Now, is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, saved me from this hour. He asked somebody else. He's not asking himself to save them. But from this point, came I into the hour. Father, for a fainter name. Now who got an ass, took it to the Father in heaven. Father, for a fainter name. Then came the advice from heaven. The Father, God Almighty, in heaven, saying, I had both glorified it, and I have glorified it again. Jesus on earth took him to God Almighty, which are in heaven, and the Father, which are in heaven, answered back to the Son, which are in earth, and he's telling me they are the same. And he's telling me they are the same. And Jesus asked him somebody else to glorify him. And God Almighty from heaven said, yes, I did. I did. Now, in the book of Mark, it's very interesting, very interesting. The book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 19, 16, 19. 16, 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sit on the right hand of God. Sit on the right hand of God. Can you imagine that God sat on the right hand of God? God sat on the right hand of God. These two gods, one on the right and one on the left, and the one on the right, he's the same one on the left. Is it English? Is it Arabic? God sat on the right hand of God. God sat on the right hand of God. What is it? Is it English? Is it Chinese? What is that? There's two gods in heaven? Yes, must be two gods. One in the left, one on the right. Must be. Now, I will prove to you right now that Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. There are two different versions. Completely different versions. Now, about the Holy Spirit. Listen, very interesting verse. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12, 32. Matthew 12, 32. It says, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, said, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, of course everybody knows who is the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Jesus Christ. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. How come they are the same? Jesus said, if you say something against the Son of Man, against me, Jesus, God will forgive you. If you say something against the Holy Spirit, God will never forgive you. And this world, or in the next world. How come there is a shame? How are the shame? If you forgive another one, it's forgiven. The other one cannot be forgiven. How come there is a shame? The Son is the Holy Spirit. How come? How come? Is it English? Is it English? No, it's not English, not Arabic. Now, in the book of John, chapter 7:39, John 7:39, John 7:39, he said, the Holy Spirit was not given yet to Jesus because he was not glorified yet. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. 7:39. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was not given yet to Jesus because he was not glorified yet. You're telling me Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And that the Bible says the Holy Spirit was not given yet to Jesus because he was not glorified yet. How come that is said? How come that is said? Again, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was not given yet to Jesus because he was not glorified yet. And you're telling me that is said? And you're telling me, Allah Hafiz, the Miracle of the Wafir Ra'ah. لأن عيسى لم يفقد مجيد بعد أن يتم هذا الشيء في الإنجليش والله ما تنجيش والله ما تنجيش والله ما تنجيش تري ناي سيفن تري ناي نعم From the mouth of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ refused Trinity. From the mouth of Jesus Christ, يا أخي تنسل, ما تنسلش انت الوقت. الوقت مش معاك. تنسل الوقت مش معاك. الوقت مع Jesus is the prophet. ما تعملش ما تنجوش. ما تعملش لحظة. الوقت مع Jesus is the prophet. ما تنجوش لحظة. ما Now, now, from the mouth of Jesus Christ, Jesus refused Trinity. Jesus refused Trinity. One, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 17, 3, this is eternal life. To know you, you are the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you say. There is only one God, and Jesus is messenger. There is only one God, Jesus is messenger. Jesus did not say, I am God, and I did not say that. Jesus in the book of Mark, chapter 15, 32, about the last day, the last hour, he said, about this day and this hour, nobody knows, that even the angels which are in heaven, not the Son, but the Father. The only one knows about the last day, the Father alone. This is refused Trinity. Because if the earth were equal in knowledge, if the Father knows something, the Son has to know. The Holy Spirit has to know. This verse refutes Jesus' God. Because if he does, he will know the hour. This verse refutes that Jesus, he is the one who judges us. Because if he is the one who judges us, he will know the hour. He doesn't know. Now in the book of Matthew, chapter 19:16, a man came to him, said, good master, what can I do to gain eternal life? What Jesus replied, why you call me good? There is none good but one, he is God. Not me. Why don't you call me God? There is none good but God, he is God. And Jesus said, yes, I am God. You're telling me that I'm God, I am good. Thank you very much. Jesus said in the book of John, 14:28, the Father is greater than me. Jesus said in the book of John, 2:17, I'm not ascending back, yes, to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And when a man came to Jesus Christ and asked him, good master, what can I do to gain eternal life? In Mark chapter 12:28, I remember the question I'm having helped him reading together, and conceiving that he had answered him once. He asked him, what is the first commandment? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Oh, Israel, hear that. Our Lord is one Lord. Include Jesus. Our Lord is one Lord. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, then I came to him, the man of God, children, with their tongue, worshipping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what will thou? She said unto him, grant this my two tongues, may sit in them, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in kingdom. But Jesus answered, to sit on my right hand and to sit on my left hand is not mine to do. It's not mine to do. It's not him. He cannot do anything about it. Now, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3:12, Jesus, four times he should thank the Father himself. He said, him that overcomes, where I make him a pillar, and the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God. Four times Jesus said, my God, my God, my God. Not one, not two, four times. Now, in the first, last thing, in the letter of Corinthians, chapter 15:28, Corinthians 15:28, listen to this. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, be subject to God, be subject to the Father, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Who is Jesus? In the right place, in the day of judgment. Who is Jesus? Under the feet of God, under his submission. And who don't say it, shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also, himself, be subject unto him, book that this whole thing is under him, that God is all in all. In the last days, in the day of judgment, Jesus was under submission of God Almighty, under his feet. The debate is over, and now the question and answer. I know Brother Kundi is here. Brother Kundi, are you here? Brother Kundi, are you here? Or is it that you have time for the question or not? Can you tell me on the text, do you have time for question or not? Now the time for question. Do you have a time or not? Okay, no problem. Do you have a time or not? Abdeshi, are you here? I think he left already. I think he left. Abdeshi, are you here? Abdeshi. Then I'll tell you, yeah, for her. That's why he's a man. Now it's here. His name is here. Ah, so it's not very attention. Okay, no problem. Yeah, Arzotsky, are you here for questions? Do you wanna answer the questions? Arzotsky. I guess not. He doesn't answer. I guess not. Okay, wait 1 minute, please. He doesn't want to reply. Do you have a time for questions? Yes or no? Do you have a time for questions or that's over? That's not over. You don't have a time for questions, it's up to you. And if you want to stay, you want to leave. Yes or no? Yes? Okay, fine. Yes, fine. Really, I'm to close the question and answer. An admin mean, okay, guys, okay. Really, the admin is going to take questions. Which admin is going to take control? What have you telling me to read the question? Somebody speak English. Somebody speak good English. You are not admin or that, you can chat in mind. يا أخوة مين ده؟ هل كنتي كنتي are you here كنتي؟ كنتي are you here؟ كنتي are you here؟ كنتي؟ في حد طيب عنده انجليزي بتاع كويس يمسك الأسئلة؟ أوكي. طيب. How many questions you want? How many questions? How long are you going to stay? How many questions? Well, 5 questions more? Next? Arzotsky, can you answer me please? How many questions? 5? More than 5? How many questions? 5 questions, okay. 5. هل كنت موجود؟ مين اللي بيعرف انجليزي كويس من الادمين يسأل كوتشن؟ يسأل هنا؟ Five to 14? Five. Now the Linda English quiet. Who's English? You can ask. He said 10. Alright. Kundi, are you here for 5 questions? 5? Okay. 5. The 100 people for the admin is Alan. Linda English quiet. And I have to have thought I will hold on this. Let me open my DM. Okay, I open my DM. Somebody have a good English admin or somebody can give him the mic, inshallah. No, baby. Listen. It's not like that. I should mention you. If the question for you, I will comment on it. If the question for me, I will comment on it. Right. Do you understand? If the question for you, you will comment. If the question for me, you will comment. Okay? This is the way. Okay, I don't know which one I get in the mic now. You know what, I will start with question for me. Simplified, if you have question, I give you the mic. Simplified, the mic is yours, very simplified. Simplified, you have a question, do you want to ask? Simplified. There is any Christian in the room who wants to ask any questions? there is any Christian in the room who wants to ask any questions? My DM will be now. There is any Christian in the room who wants to ask me about Jesus God, about the debate? Yes, I told her. Yes, she can talk. She can talk, okay. She can talk the question, yes. Go ahead, simple fact. Talk the question. Yes, she can do that. She can do that, no problem. I'll show you from Padre, so just wait a few minutes, please. Padre, sir. Wait a few minutes. We sent him to name wiser the blessings of the Savior in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right, where can, can you explain? John did not, where is that? Where? Give me the book from the Bible. Where in the Bible? He did not, where in the Bible? He did not, where? 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 It's not there in the Bible. That's not biblical teaching. It's not there in the Bible. John never baptized by the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No. Where in the Bible? Yes, where in the Bible? Where? Give me verse. Give me verse, I answer you. It's not there in the Bible. Where in the Bible? You know what? You don't read the Bible first. Let me read it for you. Let me read it for you. See, this in the book of... Let me read it. Let me read it for you. Actually, you read your Bible. Book of Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew 3. Listen to this. And in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judah. Matthew 3:1. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye, the way of the Lord which is past straight. And the same John had his remains of camels were a leathern girdle about his loins.
Sorry, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Saw Allah fi sur. Saw Allah fi sur. Andi sur. Sorry, alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah. Akuna wisham. Akuna wisham. هنا وشان حصل له انقطاع يا اخوة. طيب نعمل له ان شاء الله داونس ونرجعه. نعمل له داونس ونرجعه. لا يا اخوة يعني هو ان شاء الله كده يرجع ان شاء الله. هو كده هيعرف. هو كده يا اخوة هيعرف ان هو يعني معلق سلوك. اسمه معلق سلوك. ان شاء الله هو دلوقتي يعني يستطيع ان هو يدخل الوصف تاني. مستر ازيك اوثوذوكس بليز ويت 1 minute بليز يعني وشان مش عارف. طب يا اخي مسلم اخي مسلم اتفضل معاك المايك. انا يعني ما بتكلمش انجليزي كويس يعني. اتفضل معاك المايك.
السلام عليكم. اتمنى ان صوتك واضح ولي واحد اللي كان فضل واضح. Can you guys hear me well? Orthodoxy, or death, and simplified. Can you guys hear me? We're starting to have a problem with this computer, and he'll be back as soon as he gets his problem solved with the computer. This is not great. But like always, the truth trumps the falsehood. Okay, time to look great. The sound is back. It's time to see Mike. Sorry. Sure. Welcome back, Sam. Sure, Mike.
Sure, Mike. Sure.
طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أخونا فونجي هل أنت سمعني يا أخي؟ أخي الحبيب فونجي. أخي فونجي وشام فرق مرة ثانية. others. طيب أقول عشان لك الحرب مرة ثانية. طب أخي مسلم خد بقى يا أخي الله يسلمك الموت مرة أخرى. أو أخي هشام، أخي هشام سمعني الآن يا أخي؟ طب يا أخي حبيب خد الموت معك.
السلام عليكم. كان يهمني أن ترى جد كلمتي. كان يهمني هذا الرجال من ليش؟ يس هذا الرجال من ليش؟ I'm sorry, get this commented. Did you hear what I said? I was reading from Matthew 5:3. I'm sorry, 3 from 1 to 6. Did you hear everything? 3 to 6? So there is one word that said that John, Tabatharis, was the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is not there. It's not there. If it's there in the gospel, you have to show it to me. As Lucky, you can have the mic comment on my answer. Go ahead, the mic is there.
Yes, there is no place in the Gospels that show that John the Baptist baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I don't know, I think Simplified was referring to Matthew 28 when Jesus was given the Great Commission. I'm not sure.
No, he was talking about John the Baptist. He's not there. See, are you Messiah again? Is there another Christian who asked me a question? Any another Christian? My DM is open. Some Christian who asked me? My DM is open. I give him the mic. Any Christian? My DM is open. That's the DM you need. Tell me one asking a question. No, he took the mic. Nobody will ask you. Own the mic. No, on text, on the mic. You? Okay, on the mic. No, on the mic, I'm sorry. On the mic. Simplified because she's with him. She's the best with him. Raise your hand up. Wash, raise your hand up, please. See, واحد. Raise your hand up, please. I cannot see your hand. See, واحد. Let me take an Arabic. Okay. Go ahead, the mic is yours. We're talking about Jesus God. Okay? He spoke, yes, can you hear me, everybody? Can you hear me? If you can hear me, I can't read. I have a problem with the internet now. Unless I get disconnected again. Subhanallah. The mic is, can you hear me, guys? Okay, why the guy didn't take the mic? I'm trying to get the red dot of them. Okay, go and take the mic. Take the mic, ask a question about Jesus God. Go and take the mic. Now this show, there is no sound. Now there is no sound, I'm sorry. There is no sound. Any other Christian will ask a question. Any other Christian will ask a question. Okay. Any other Christian? Listen, I have a problem. Alex Mahari, can you hear me? Can you hear me, guys? Is the sound good? Yeah, can you hear me? Okay. Any other Christian? Okay. So I didn't know which I'm talking to the Muslims. I'm gonna Fundi, come on, good Fundi, are you here? Wait. Fonzi, are you here? Fonzi, are you here? Sorry. Now it is yours. Go ahead, take the mic.